bottom of the city, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Vontae Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, my Lord. What an epic rant. Shout out to Adam in the city. That's Jimmy Kavnar on NBC Sports California. Giants don't even deserve. I don't even feel right playing Kruk and Kipe right now. I don't want to play them being depressed. They got to sit up there in the booth and fake it. We're going to talk to Dave Fleming at 8:30, the voice of the Giants as well. I know he's not happy. But, hey, the expectation is they have to make the playoffs. I want to read a couple texts, man. 707 Xfinity Mobile text line. My buddy had two Giants tickets laid on the dashboard of his parked car last night. Somebody broke it and left two more. I saw David Hernandez on YouTube. I've had season tickets for 3 years. I've been to one game. So I found out, you know, our buddy Bram, yeah. Warriors Huddle Podcast. Yeah, yeah. We got to get Bram on the show.
I've been ducking him for a minute.
Bram, we got to get him on the
show. Love you, buddy.
So I found out, you know, Bram hits me up last week. He's like, dude, I got these four tickets to Rockies game. You want them? And I'm like, damn, I guess I'll take them. Why not? Then I find out, I see Guru yesterday. He goes, dog, man, you had some good seats. I had to say no to some Giants tickets for Bram. I was like, what? Those are the seats I had. Find out, Guru had offered the tickets to Willard. And Willard was like, yeah, I'm good. Mark Willard didn't even want the free tickets.
Whoa.
So, and these are seats behind, three rows behind. What? Breaking news?
No. I'm saying, whoa, Mark Willard didn't want
them. Oh, I thought the way you guys looked at it, I was like, what, Brendan, are you signing a new contract? I was like, Brendan, are you
just technical producer stuff. Nothing exciting.
Brendan, are you going to be on the practice field to hopefully save Brock Purdy for throwing interceptions?
Well, actually, no, breaking news. Mark Canha's flight has just landed, guys. The vibes have arrived.
No, the vibes have arrived.
I'm joking. But yeah.
Vibes have arrived.
No, but like, honestly, and I know I did the rant and the other, like, I'm not trying to make fun of it. I have legitimate friends and family that have had some serious problems.
We all have.
And exactly. And it's wild when you are like so out of your norm, like so out of being a normal person, you will see like, dude, why are you vacuuming that carpet over and over and over and over again like an addict? Like you're tripping. The roof is caving in. Like the oven doesn't work.
You know when they wash the dishes and they're going over the same spot over and over and they look at the dish.
That's what I'm saying.
Dry it. They're like, you know what? There's still a spot there. Let me wash it again. Oh, trust me. Unfortunately, it's not funny. The reason why I'm laughing because it's so real. Because we all have been around, you know, in our families. We've had them. You know, my mom, fortunately, has been 24 years clean and sober.
Yeah.
I'm so damn proud of her. But I know what you're talking about. And I'm not trying to laugh, but I've seen it. I've seen it in real time.
And
my mom's come a long way. Family members have come a long way. But I've seen it where people are, you know, whether they're off ecstasy or whatever they're on, and they're just like, they're just moving so fast. And it's like, yo, can we have a conversation? And they're just like, they're not even there.
So like, for example, and I know you're referencing your mom. My dad is very open about it when he was alive. Like he would tweak every now and then. Yep. And Dad, you don't need to clean the garage again for the 800th time. Moving one thing like an inch over. Like, there are bigger issues going on in this house than cleaning of the garage at 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I look at Farhan. He is addicted to like fringe moves that do nothing to help the overall organization.
Nothing.
Dog, the roof is caving in. We have no foundation. Is.
Well, you know what? Listen, this could be a win-win. Now, I'm going to get into Tim Kawakami's article because he said some things in that article, or he wrote some things in that article that I disagree with. I think these are the last 2 months of Farhan Zaidi's career with the Giants. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel, but who the hell knows with this organization? Now I don't even know. Now I don't even know if I trust my source. No, I do, but it's just like, this guy, like, honestly, if they cannot bring this guy back, I don't care what they do this season. It's got to be over now. That's F. Bajor, our buddy from Houston.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, to serve the city, of course. Spent $5. Thanks for the $5. Time to start flying planes with meme messages in front of Oracle Park.
I mean,
it worked for the 49ers.
Wow.
And you know what? Maybe that's here on the Morning Roast.
Bad idea.
We start that. And we have all our roasters, including us, donate to this cause. And we start to fly banners. Honestly, I remember back in the 90s in Denver, Colorado, Bob Costas was interviewing this guy. This guy in Denver, Colorado, the Broncos were struggling. They lost so many games. This guy stayed and lived on a billboard in Denver until they won a freaking football game. Like, little things like that. Banners over Candlestick Park telling the Jay York to sell or whatnot. And I think we should put money together and we should figure this out And it's time to start flying banners saying "Get Farhan out of here."
We just want our team back.
I just want to love my team again. I want to feel excited about turning on the TV at 6:45 p.m. saying, "All right, let's go. First pitch, let's go." And last night when I started watching the game, I said, "Boy, they have to. This is as must. They have to win this game tonight. They cannot lose this game after holding that presser and getting through that deadline by acquiring Mark Canha.
They look so
and some prospects
lifeless.
That nobody knows about. All right? And don't sell me on prospects anymore. I'm done with that.
But if you believe in the prospects, bat them in the ninth inning. Like, you want it? Like, and I'm listening to all these different people who have connections to the Giants, and right. and I'll use FP. I'm listening to him and Granny, and he's like, "Well, you know, you got to get the." And I'm not ripping FP. I'm just saying, like, oh. I get his point. You got to get these young guys these big time reps and these big time moments. Is the ninth inning not an opportunity for Marco Luciano to prove himself? But no, what are you doing? You're back to going to the matchups and going to an old guy who's a retread. Jazz Chisholm has hit more home runs in one weekend than Lamont Wade Jr. has all year.
All year. He's got four home runs in three games with the Yankees. Lamont Wade Jr. has four home runs on the season at first base. And that's the one when the other day you're like, "What do you want?" I said, "Well, I would love a power hitting first baseman."
Y'all would.
I mean, come on, man. Let's go. We grew up watching Will Clark and NJT Snow. Those guys lived in the 20s when it came to home run power. You know what I'm saying? They lived in the 20s.
And it's a must-win game. And, okay, if it's a must-win game, why is David VR? And I like David VR. Nice guy. But, like, why is he at first?
Why is he at first?
If you're going to – see, that's the problem. If you're going to go young, go young. If they haven't committed to it, why'd you trade Soler?
They're not all in, Chasky. It was what happened yesterday was Giants fans were lied to once again.
But what were they even trying to accomplish on the deadline day?
Why even hold a presser to say all that?
Because
now you intensify the fan base. Now you're just throwing more gasoline on the fire. And you're getting more people mad by saying things like they said yesterday. Honestly, I thought about just running the whole presser, thinking to myself, what the hell was he talking about yesterday? Now, Lemon, you said you had a soundbite here. What was the soundbite? Go ahead, set it up.
Oh, no. You're just saying, you know, we were saying, you know, how much it would cost to fly a banner over the ballpark. If we are interested in doing that and pooling some money together, depending on the event and the market and the campaign size, it can range anywhere from as low as $500 to as much as $3,000.
Oh, so we could do that.
We could start raising some money there.
I'll throw $500 in the pot
right now.
Here's the
problem that I got with that. Here's the only problem I got. That $3,000 could go to youth sports, or it's the only issue that I have. Like, well, you know how I am with the kids.
Yeah, I get all that. I donate to Junior Giants every single year. I'm anonymous, but I donate to Junior Giants every single year. I donate to kids all the time. But this guy has to get out of here. He has to go. This is a Tampa Bay.
No.
We're not a small market organization. We're not in a small market region. These are the San Francisco Giants.
Ponte, I mean, like, the best part about the whole thing is, like, Luciano did get on base in his third at-bat, and then you pinch hit him. Like, this is exactly like what happened with Joey Bart. Joey Bart hit a monster screamer. We're going to pinch hit for him in the eighth inning.
You didn't even give him a shot.
I mean, but this is like, I keep going back to, like, okay, right. You look overmatched in your first couple at-bats. Well, in your third one, you get a hit. And then what happens for your fourth at-bat? We're going to Lamont Wade, ninth inning. Got to go to the vet.
Let's get some calls in here. Let's get some calls. I just don't understand
what we're doing.
Yeah, nobody knows. That's the problem. We weren't, with the Soler deal, we're all confused. Well, are they selling or are they buying? Or are they just trying to save some money? Or are they trying to get under the CBT? You didn't even do that. But all of a sudden, you look at yesterday and you said, well, they didn't buy or sell. You did nothing. And then you sat up there and scratched your belly and said, well, we believe we have the best rotation in baseball. But then you're going to limit Birdsong and Harrison in September anyway. So how long is the best rotation in baseball even going to be? How long are they going to be together?
How was Robbie Ray's start yesterday?
It was awful.
But again,
it was awful.
And I'm not even mad at him. He's coming back off of Tommy John.
But so you put so much pressure on Robbie Ray to be electric.
No. The best rotation in baseball. Not even just electric.
No, he said best rotation in baseball.
Robbie Ray has to be a part of the best rotation in baseball. Now, let me ask you this. As they said that, like, we all like Logan Webb. Has he been his best
months? He hasn't been his best over the last
month. I really like him. I'm not trading him. I'm not getting rid of him. I really like him.
He's not been his best.
He's been up and down.
I mean, this is embarrassing. If you're a season ticket holder, I want to hear from the season ticket holders. How are you feeling I know a lot of people who have season tickets in the past. They've given those tickets up so quickly. They say, yeah, we're not renewing. I'm sorry. We're not renewing. I'm wondering about the Borgeses, George and Izzy. What are they thinking right now?
You know what George is thinking? Better get ready for Niners week one against the Jets.
I mean, we're going to pivot. So trust me, I want to talk about practice yesterday and Deebo not being able to get off of one-on-ones and Brandon Ayuk standing on the sideline and Nick Bosa, what is he doing at camp? I want to talk 49er football so damn bad. But this train wreck sitting right in front of our face. How can you not address it? If we don't address it, nobody will. Nobody will.
Hey, Bonte,
you got to hold this team accountable.
But I have to suppress Luis Matos, my own guy, for 28-year-old journeyman Derek Hill.
Derek Hill.
Who has a career 78 hits scattered over six seasons.
And then you just add Mark Canna to the party. now you add two to a party. And platoon at first base. So now we got three first basemen. You got Wilmer Flores, Lamont Wade Jr., and Mark Canna. Now we got three first basemen. What are we doing? Fitz in the city. Vince, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, Vince.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? Shasky, that's got to be like segment of the year. That was absolutely hilarious, dude. Kudos to that. But
thank you.
I've been a Giants fan my whole life, right? I was born and raised in the city. I'm 36. This is probably the worst baseball I have ever seen. You know, it's like I don't really know any of the players on the team right now other than maybe Logan Webb and Lamont Wade. I really liked Solaire, and then he got hurt. Then he came back, and it seemed like he was starting to pick it back up, and then you get rid of him. I don't know what Farhan's been doing the last 3 years. I don't understand how we can go from like a 100-plus win season to falling off the face of the earth. It seems to me like Farhan's the guy who lied on his resume and then accidentally got the job. And now he's like, well, let's just see. I like that name and I like that name. I don't like this name, so let's get rid of that guy. You know, it's like, go call Bob Myers. I don't know. The dude's a basketball guy, but he'd probably put a better roster together than this guy. This team sucks. There's nothing. Why would anybody want to pay? You got $5 tickets, and nobody's even trying to go. Like, you're losing the fan base at this point. And until Farhan's gone, I don't see the Giants getting any better anytime soon.
They're not. Here's Farhan's message to the fans yesterday. His message. I think, Lubman, you asked this question, right? You asked this question yesterday. I think you said you asked him about his message to the fans. And I'm looking here about big board. Gosh, where is this cut? I can't see.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, we're kind of leaning into our young players. I mean, we have heard a lot from our, you know, development is not a straight line, right? I think when we're talking about guys like Ramos and Fitzgerald, they're perfect examples of it. You know, Ramos been AAA for 3 years and, you know, was getting hot and got an opportunity. And, you know, now we see where he is. Tyler Fitzgerald, you know, was a fourth round pick for us back in 2019, went a level at a time, had a nice minor league career, got an opportunity to come up last year, did a nice job. And, you know, we kind of kept the shortstop position open, hoping that somebody from our group of young players could, you know, take the reins, and he did it. So I think that's going to be the fun of the rest of the season is we're going to continue to bring guys up. Marco Luciano's here today. We want to see him get the DH at bats and see if he can run with those. You know, we've created a rotation spot for Hayden Birdsong, and I know people are really excited about what he's doing. So, you know, I think that's, to me, that's kind of baseball. It's most exciting when you're playing competitive baseball, meaningful baseball, and you've got young guys coming up who can be part of it.
I mean, this is a guy who's nervous and doesn't know how to talk about, doesn't know how to talk in public, doesn't know how to speak in public. It's unbelievable.
That was just kind of a rambling word salad.
Yeah, I just was like, where are we going here?
I left the shortstop spot open. No, you didn't. You were like trying to squeeze Nick Ahmed in, and everyone knew he wasn't good.
I love how he says, yeah, we really want to get Marco Luciano those at-bats, you know, until the ninth inning.
Well, no, until Marquetta comes. Until Marquetta comes.
We got Kate Hanna in the DH
spot. Marco Luciano's going to play like four times a week.
Yeah.
Let's be real. And he's going to get about 2 to 3 at-bats a game. They're not really committed to Marco Luciano. You should have flipped him. He's laughing. Nobody's laughing. Nothing is funny right now. You're under 500. You just got slapped around by the Oakland A's. You beat the Rockies and swept them, and all of a sudden you start beating your chest. Well, you didn't forget you just lost 2 or 3 in Denver, Colorado, to those same Rockies. Then you went to Dodger Stadium and pissed all over yourself and lost 3 or 4 to a Dodgers team that is now reloading. They're not even at their best right now, and they're laughing at you. So I don't know why he's got this nervous giggle. It's very strange. Not only that, where's his team at after 6 years? Where's his team at after 6 years?
Our record is we're 2 games under 500. So, and to your point, Tim, that's, you know, we've had stretches in 22 and 23 where we got some separation from 500, we're in really good playoff position, and weren't able to sustain it. And so I think that's why it was so important for us in this case to really just leverage the strength of our team and keep the rotation intact. You know, when I look at the progress that's being made, to me it's breaking young players in. We've talked about that a lot. This year, between Ramos, Fitzgerald, Birdsong, I think those are things you can really hang your hat on as, you know, something that represents long-term progress for the organization, players who've been drafted. And
you know, who does he think we are? Are we just dummies? Do we not watch? I mean, 2022, you open the second half, you lost 7 straight right out of the break. 7 straight right out of the break, and you're 2 games over 2 games under 500 July 27th. Separation at 500. You literally lost 7 straight out of the break in 2022. All right, let's go to 2023. 500, gaining separation, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you were 54-41 after beating Cincinnati 11-10 in Cincy July 18th. And then you lost 6 straight. Then you won 2, you won, you lost 2. And then you faded away in September.
Yeah.
Hard. So this fake, like, we had separation, we were in a playoff position. Who are you talking to? Have we not been watching? That's the problem right there. You talk down to us, Farhan. You really do. All right, let's go more. Here's Farhan. Where's his team at there? Need to create something here. Here's another one.
I know you get to this time of year, and frankly, whenever you're a little bit on the competing bubble like we are, we're, you know, 3 games out in the wild card race.
Competing bubble.
There's a notion of, you know, let's enhance the farm system. But, you know, you can have all the prospects you want. It's not going to matter until you actually create opportunities for them, right? So you can go out and get a bunch of guys, but if you're not willing to do some of the things we did over the last couple of days to create opportunities for those guys, it's just not going to have a chance to impact your major league team. So, you know, really to answer your question, I would say I think what fans want to see, I think what we can hang our hat on as an organization is the progress of young players coming up and impacting us. And I named 3 guys, and that's not including, you know, guys like Eric Miller and Brett Wisely that were acquired into this organization, but are young players who have a chance to be here for a long time. So the more of that, you know, the more we have guys coming up, establishing themselves, you know, like a Pat Bailey did last year, I think that's where the progress is coming from.
Boy, 415 Xfinity Mobile text line.
I just...
President Biden makes better speeches than Farhan. Certified G. I mean,
it's just
Minnesota.
Look, it. You did not create opportunities, okay? Because you had Conforto, Jung-Hoo Lee, and Mike Yastrzemski in the outfield with Austin Slater. All right, that was to start the year with Tyler Fitzgerald to start the year. As the season progressed, guys went down, and Conforto turned into exactly what we thought he would be. All right. And then you were forced to call guys up, Luis Matos and Ramos. Ramos stuck on his own accord.
Yep.
Now you get credit for pivoting and all that. But then you kept adding to that outfield. Now you've got Canna, and you got this guy Hill, who no one's ever heard of, Derek Hill.
28 years old. It's out of nowhere.
It's just creating opportunities. What? Tyler Fitzgerald, what'd they do with him? They put him down in the minors, and then he had to come back up, all right? And then you faded Estrada, who, if we had the same conversation 3 months ago, you'd have been hyping up Estrada. Then Wisely came out of nowhere. He had a couple of nice weeks, some really nice weeks, in fact. And then you DFA Ahmed and put Wisely at shortstop. And Wisely's not a shortstop. And I don't even know if he's a second baseman. We'll see. And then you got lightning in a bottle with Tyler Fitzgerald. But what's to say that Fitzgerald doesn't turn into what Estrada's turned into?
Yeah,
what no Brett Wisely's turned into?
Yeah, well, no, we
and
don't
I,
know.
And I like him, and I'm rooting for him.
We don't know.
But like you say all this, and then you're addicted to acquiring some rando who has to be forced into the mix.
Well, you know, he's lying about we hang our hat on creating opportunities, blah, blah, blah.
No, you don't.
Well, in 2023, you played Wilmer Flores and gave him 405 at-bats, and I like Wilmer. But you gave Jock Peterson $20,358,000 at-bats, and he had 15 home runs last year. Mike Gostrzybski played 106 games, had some hamstring injuries, but you played him a lot. You played Blake Sable in 110 games last season. All right? Casey Schmidt, you gave up on in a heartbeat. Mitch Haniger couldn't stay healthy, but you gave him a big money deal. You gave him a contract. You never really gave Joey Bart a shot, and Joey Bart may not even be good. But you didn't give him a shot. Remember Paul DeJong? They had him for a second, cup of coffee. Remember that?
How can I keep up with all of the crap that they brought in?
AJ Pollock, they had him for a week. Remember that? Matt Beaty. Oh, we need him for Yankee Stadium. Open the season. Let's go trade for Matt Beaty. I mean, seriously. This guy is literally lying to us like we don't follow the damn team every day.
It's
He's
crazy.
Lying to the fans. Fans, I am here to help you. This is your show today. You're being lied to and duped, and you've been duped for 6 years.
Can I ask you this? Because you've used Alex Cobb out of the pen last night.
Oh, my God. Could you that? You're going to need Alex Cobb in September.
Could you have used Jorge Soler in any role last night?
You're going to need Jorge Soler for the dog days. These youngsters ain't been through their dog days in August. I mean, that's around the corner. That's around the corner, Sasky.
I just don't understand what we're doing.
You're going to put these youngsters through this stuff? Through this, I get it, experience and playing in high-level situations. But by the time September comes around, you're going to be out of it.
I know.
There's going to be no high-level situations. And guess what? Again, I'll go over the schedule again, Giants fans. This is what's coming up for the Giants. And it's a scary proposition. And I feel bad for Giants fans who are riding with this team through the thick and thin. We all do. But I'm going to be casually watching. Look at the schedule. Look at the schedule. All right? You got Seattle for three in late August. Then you go to Milwaukee for three. Then you've got a series against Miami where you can sweep them. But who knows? You never play well against the Marlins anyway.
Gabe Kapler revenge series.
Oh, yeah. They just got to.
they have to replace like nine of their players right.
They're
going to
be done. They're tanking. But then you play Arizona for three. Arizona looking like they got some swagger back. They're trying to get back in the playoffs. They're rolling right now. Then you got the Padres for three. Then you got the Brewers for another three. Then you got the Padres for another three. Then you got you got to go to Baltimore and play the Orioles in September. Then you got to go to Kansas City. They're playing for something. You see those kids? Oh, my God. Bobby Witt Jr. and company are playing hard. They feel like they got a shot. And then you go to Arizona and then you play St. Louis to end the season.
Monte.
So are we really going to be playing in high-level situations in September? I don't think they make it to September.
Let me ask this sincere question. Had they gone 2-2 against the Rockies, is there any question whether they're selling or not?
Shasky, think of just the fact that a Rockies series.
Do you know who the second worst team in baseball is?
Was the litmus hit the Rockies. The Rockies. We all know the Rockies. And guess what? The Rockies aren't on the schedule anymore. We don't play them until May 1st of 2025.
They're the second worst team in baseball. So let's just do the exercise. The Yankees sweep the White Sox. Does anyone that's the World Series team?
No. They're ticked. They're saying you should sweep the White Sox.
Come on.
You should sweep the White Sox.
You
swept the Rockies.
No.
You swept the Rockies and literally thought you had a chance. It's insane.
I barely swept the Rockies, too.
Shasky and I were down so bad yesterday.
I'm so depressed.
We were on the phone, and we were both watching Yankees and Phillies. I just happened to have it on. I'm like, wow, look how electric it looks at Citizen Bank Park. I'm actually going to be in Philly when the Braves take on the Phillies. I may go to one of those games to feel what playoff baseball is like. Because I have, God knows, we ain't getting that around here. But Shasky goes, I'm kind of rooting for the Yankees. And I said, hell, I've thought about getting a pinstripe jersey for the last 3 months. Just get one.
They're fun.
I mean, Jazz Chisholm. He he goes there and he's like, I'm a baseball heaven. He was just in Miami.
Alex Verdugo is fun. And he's not even one of the top six guys you name on the Yanks. At least I see, when I see their manager, I know he cares. Dude,
they lost two straight to the Tampa Bay Rays. And Boone is getting grilled.
If they fire him, I'll take Boone in a heartbeat.
He's stressing, chewing his gum at the top of the step. Cursing out umpires left and right. And you hear when they hit home runs, they can't beat the Mets. And that's how it was. I mean,
and what did they do at the deadline? And what did they do at the deadline?
They tried to buy.
Well, they added.
They tried to buy.
The Giants were over here like, let's just trim a little bit of payroll.
The Dodgers are going to the playoffs. But people in L.A. are panicking left and right. And guess what? They're buying. Let's go to John and Rancho Cattati. John.
Hey, John.
What's happening? What up, John?
John.
Hey, you guys got me?
Yeah, we got you now.
All right. Hey, longtime listener, first-time caller. Shasky, that was an amazing rant earlier. I just have to say, I think back, I'm 34 years old. My foundational Giants moment was that 97 season. Mm. I was at the game where Beck's raging off the mound. My dad was there. I mean, 62,000 packed, right? 2 years prior, I think, Shasky, you touched on it maybe a day or two ago, that 95-96 season, they were terrible.
Yep.
And you had a general manager that was willing to step up and make big-time, big-boy trades. Matt Williams, gone.
Yep.
Kent, Tavares, Hamilton, Roberto Hernandez, Snow. These are all foundational piece trades that made the Giants what they were in 97 and set them up for a roadmap going into what is now AT&T going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I sit there and I go, you watch the Yankees with all that swagger and the way that they ran Sabian out of town in Philly, and you just have to sit there and go, him, not that Cashman needs coaching up, but a guy that led orange and black. And yeah, the last couple of years were not great, but the way they treated him, the word that comes is just this quiet arrogance with Farhan. The smile yesterday in that press conference, I swear I was beyond pissed off. It's a slap in the face. I was at the game Sunday against the Rockies. I was torn about this idea that you're going to have a four-game sweep, and then what are you going to do at the deadline? You're going to watch them not move Snell because his job's on the line, just like you didn't get anything Rodon, just like you didn't sign Gausman. Enough is enough. I was at the last game at Candlestick. I had Chris Berman with my dad there. He's, because, you know, Berman's a big Giants fan, handed me Candlestick dirt. It runs through my blood. And seeing this team the way it is, I can't take it anymore, fellas. I really can't.
I feel your pain. That's a great call, John.
Let me, he spoke on Sabian for a second. And this organization has become so small time, it's become sickening. And this is what I'm talking about, you know, with Buster Posey Zoom and the end of season presser.
How you do things matter.
Hey, absolutely. Presentation.
I've learned that in my life.
The Warriors, they present. The Niners, they present well.
Well, that is what I was told. I'd rather be the best dressed person than the worst dressed person in the room. And it's for the optics.
The optics were bad yesterday because you're not live streaming the presser, whatever. But he brought up Sabian. John and Rancho Cattati brought up Sabian. I'm thinking about the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame, where it took this long to get Brian Sabian into the Sports Hall of Fame, Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame. And I know he didn't even want to come. I know that. He didn't want to come. And you know who presented him? You know who's his presenter? Chris Berman.
Wow.
ESPN. Chris Berman was his presenter. And I'm watching Sabian move around, and then I'm watching Farhan in the same room move around. I'm watching all the former players just flock to Sabian. And I'm watching Farhan just feel so uncomfortable. And I've seen him at the Positive Coaches Alliance. I've seen him at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame 2 years ago. I told you the story yesterday. Guy in the bathroom's like, hey, man, good win against the Brewers, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, hey, he just like chuckles, like, hey, didn't even, like, give the guy 15 seconds back. Yes. Hey, man, thanks. I appreciate that, man. We're trying to play some good ball.
Yeah.
I see Bob Myers like, man, that's a tough loss. Yeah, you know, Bonte, blah, 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 blah.
Grace personified.
Just all that stuff. Yeah. First class.
And there's a regalness to both of those guys.
And to think that this organization hasn't even put Brian Sabian on the Wall of Fame yet.
Yeah, that's a little surprising.
Think about the architect. Think about what John and Rancho Cattati said when he made that trade. And Matt Williams is one of my favorite players of all time.
Everyone's.
And I'm like, damn, they traded Matt Williams for a guy. Jeff Kent, who the hell is that? Oh, he played at Cal, whatever. I don't know who he is. Daryl Hamilton, you bring in Daryl Hamilton.
JT
you bring in
Snow, JT Allen Watson, one of the great trades ever.
What a great trades ever. Jose Vizcaino comes over, and they go on a roll from 97 to 03. And I know they didn't win a World Series, but at that time, that was the highlight. Yes. And Sabian tried.
Yes.
And then he reinvents himself, and they go pitching. And they win 3-5. Three World Series in 5 years. And Brian Sabian has been disrespected by this organization, and he's not even on the Wall of Fame. And I got people out here trying to discredit Brian Sabian to defend Farhan Zaidi. It does make my stomach turn. It does make my blood boil. And I hear this guy at the podium compared to Sabian had the guts to sit there with Ralph Barbieri and take his hard-hitting questions and clap back at him.
Every week.
Bob Myers had the guts to come on his station every single week. Hell, we're going to get Joe Lacob in studio one day, whether it's on this show, Starting Go, whoever. Joe Lacob comes in the studio and comes and talks all the time. And this guy, Farhan Zaidi, is running my team into the ground, and people want to disrespect Brian Sabian, who had the guts to make people. And you know what's funny about the Yankee thing, the whole 1990? Cashman brought up Brian Sabian multiple times.
Well, he was one of the architects theirs.
Sabian wanted Jeter. One of the architects for Bernie Williams and Ben Jeter and Posada and the core four.
Yeah.
And guess what? Guess where Sabian is now?
Back
with the Yankees.
Of course.
They scooped him up so damn fast. He should have been in a lifetime. Sabian's one of those guys where he decides where he retires.
Exactly.
He decides when he wants to step back.
Well, here's the thing. It's got a very Bill Walshian feel at the early 2000s when Terry Donahue and some of the Niners were like, yeah, take a hike.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you keep those people around. Look, today's my grandfather's 88th birthday. Yep. And in other societies and cultures, you respect the wisdom of the old person in the tribe. All right. And when people have accomplished certain things, you don't let them leave the room. Jerry West was a luminary. He didn't run the day-to-day. No. That's not what he was there for. You know what he was there for? The aura, the big decisions, and the wisdom of having gone through the trials and tribulations for not years, decades. And so when you have someone like Brian Sabian, you can have a new person come in. And I understand that guy might be threatened or whatever, but you keep those guys at arm's distance. You have them in the room because you want their perspective. You don't have to do what they want to do. That's not what I'm saying.
But you keep them in the room and you listen.
Out of respect.
Yep. You listen. And say we got Farhan Zaidi.
I know.
I don't even think he's a number two in the front office.
Well,
this whole thing too. Another thing.
I wouldn't let him coach my 13.
Another thing too. A narrative that was floating around here in the Bay Area with media members, fans, everything. And I heard and I thought to myself, oh, really? Huh? Interesting.
Huh?
The Dodgers. How'd they look since Farhan left?
Man, they've been rolling.
When Farhan got hired here, all I heard was, we took a big piece away from the Dodgers. We took a big piece from them. Oh, Farhan was responsible for this, that, and the other. And Andrew Friedman sat there, who was one of the architects of the Tampa Bay Rays, and goes over to the Dodgers. And, he has all the resources in the world, blah, 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 blah. They still draft, they develop, and they're able to flip prospects for big boys all the time.
Always.
Why? They're flipping prospects for Scherzer, Turner, Mookie Betts. It doesn't matter. And people had the audacity to run with this narrative that Farhan was the true architect of the LA Dodgers. We just took a big piece away from the Dodgers. Watch the Dodgers fade, and we're going to rise. And what have we done?
We've been running on neutral on a treadmill for years, and the Dodgers are still rolling.
How's that narrative?
And that this is where it bugs me, because this is what, the Dodgers haven't won a World Series. It's like, but they're in the playoffs every single year.
They're gunning for it.
Exactly.
We went to the playoffs all the time. We couldn't win it. It's tough to win.
Case in point, the Niners. They're one of the highest run organizations in sports. The Dodgers and the Niners are very comparable.
Yep.
I'm sorry, 31 teams or 29, depending on the league, would trade places them in a heartbeat.
I'd rather be in that spot than the spot we're in right now.
100%.
Let's get the BPA before the injury report. Brian DePaulo, what's
up, Brian?
How's it going, guys?
Can I?
It's not going well.
Can I just say you're doing the Lord's work online, and let's just say thank you.
Hopefully that's not the Lord's work, actually, but trolling Giants shills on Twitter feels like there needs to be a more lofty aspiration. But I think Yeah, it's just, I mean, look, he's not even buying his own, right? I can't get that, you know, the image of Kevin James with that, like, awesome, that shrug look on his, you know, like, yeah, I'm still getting paychecks, man. You know, like, he does not believe what he's selling. And it's obvious, like, he has no belief in what he's saying. He knows nobody's buying it. He knows they shouldn't buy it. And you have a room full of, like, professional, quote, journalists, right, who are just sitting there they're getting fed, you know, opera or something. It's just like, it's a pretty sad state of affairs around sort of Giants critical analysis and local journalists and columnists. It's ugly, man. I mean, I'll put it this way. The Tim Kawakami 10 years ago would have been having Farhan's head on a weekly basis by this point. And to just get a another fawning, portrayal and no consequence, it's disappointing, you know. It's you guys and Dieter Kurtenbach that hold local franchises accountable. So congrats to you.
Yeah, well, we're just doing our job. And look, I was a little I had to pick up baby Chess from a little summer camp at 3 o'clock. And I said, damn, we had a show call. We had a call at like noon, and Luttman's going down there, and Luttman did a great job at the press. It's an unbelievable job. And I got off the phone with him. I went to go work on my guy Terrell, starting to work on losing more weight, and I just thought, damn, I need to be at this presser. I'm a little disappointed I didn't go to that presser.
How many questions did he even field?
It was there for 20 minutes.
We went about 20 minutes, 20-25 ish minutes.
Yeah, 20-25 minutes.
You asked some great questions, Luttman.
Thank you.
I was really proud of you.
Now,
put a lot of work into them.
You brought up Kawakami, and Kawakami wrote a piece yesterday, and I respect Kawakami. I respect Kawakami. I'm just reading a couple graphs here, and I want you guys to chew on this because I want 888-957-9570 is the number. If you could ask Farhan one true serum question right now, what would it be? What would your question to Farhan's IDB right now, Giants fans? 888-957-9570. But I want to read a couple of graphs from Kawakami's article. And I want you to chew on this and give me your thoughts on the other side. Zaidi just kept doing the incremental stuff. Trade a few veterans, make room for some young players, move some money around, hold on to his most valuable assets that he almost always does, and that increasingly has driven many Giants fans batty. 6 seasons into Zaidi's tenure, you either understand the rhythm, internal logic, and limits of Zaidi's process, or you've probably already decided that the franchise should have been turned over to somebody else. And let's get right to it. No, I don't think this is Zaidi's last trade deadline as Giants president, and I don't think it should be. He sure didn't act like a panic executive with his job on the line this week, which is more than a small part of his value. That is, if you think his calm, analytical mindset is all that valuable. Kawakami then writes, I think Giants chairman Greg Johnson and the rest of the ownership group believe it's valuable. I think they would love to see more victories than the Giants have produced over the last 3 seasons. And they wish Zaidi was more popular with the fan base than he is right now. But I also don't think they're ready to bail from Zaidi. There's enough there to ride this for another season. Maybe barely enough, but enough.
He ruined your zone.
So I want you to chew on what I just read, and we'll read it on the other side. Because I respect the hell out of Tim Kawakami. But boy, I've never disagreed more with this notion that he's done well enough to where the Giants ownership group think that is cool, that he should be back for another day. Think about how scary that is. He doesn't think this is Zaidi's last trade deadline with the Giants.
I mean, I have so many thoughts. Injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
You're a loser.
I saw Backerby tweeting about Grisham yesterday. Oh, maybe Grisham's a guy the Giants can go after.
He's batting like 180.
He's batting 199.
And he's playing terrible defense.
Batting ninth. And Backerby's out
there.
Watch
the games.
Backerby's out there talking about Grisham could be a good piece for the Giants. Are you out of your mind? Good news. Ricky Pearsall's in pads. He's been practicing down at training camp. And you know what Big Dog City told me when he's at practice yesterday?
Huh.
Y'all may have something to Ricky Pearsall. He looks like a dude. He was held out of practice last week due to a hamstring injury he suffered while away from the team during the summer. But he's been a full go at practice, and he is working with the team. He's been in team drills, working with the twos right now. Ricky Pearsall, that is. The injury report brought to you by Boxing Girls in Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. All of your phone calls. 888-957-9570. If you had a question for Farhan Zaidi, what would it be? What would that question be? And how the hell do you feel about the deadline, Giants fans? 888-957-9570 is the number. That's what's coming up here on the Morning Roast.